many times, and that's why it is something that needs to be dealt with. And the reason I bring that in, because he also talks about that little bitterness in verse 31, but also with that is the idea that you know, anger and bitterness are closely related, and we'll probably talk about that. Now, what is bitterness? I mean, we all kind of know, but I found it interesting. The word bitterness, as it is used here in Hebrews 12, verse 15, comes from our English word, comes from the Greek word, and that word, if you would translate it directly into English, would be acridity. Now, that's not a word we use very often, but it's where we get the word acid from. Now, you know what acid is. If you're soldering copper pipes together, you're going to need some acid. And that, when you put that on the copper and you hit it with the flame, with a torch, it melts and cleans the copper. It's acid, it's strong. If you ever happen to get that in your mouth, it tastes like acid. It's bitter. And so that's what he's kind of the meaning. And you can take it a step further, and not only is it that connected to the word acid, but it's also then, of course, connected to the word poison. That's, we understand what that is. There's a lot of different kinds of chemicals that are poisonous. But anyway, that's fairly simple to understand that. So now what God is saying in this passage is that we are to look diligently. Be careful that none of you, none of us, drink the deadly poison of bitterness. Now, there's another analogy here, and that is this whole idea of root of bitterness. Root of bitterness. And this gives us a little bit different word picture and describes the effect of bitterness as a root. And with this, maybe I'll just insert it here. I think all of us this morning have to admit, at least I know I do, at times we struggle with bitterness. Or maybe we have struggled with bitterness. Something inside that is festering, something inside that is not at peace. We all have the capacity for this. If you just think back over your life and, you know, some of the unpleasant things that have happened to you, or what people did to you or said about you, or, I mean, if you want to go back down memories lane, there'd probably be a lot of things you could, you know, eventually come up with and say, well, yep, that is. And if you dwell on that, or maybe there is something that you struggle with that you dwell on, you focus on, and it's in the background, and it's driving even some of your actions today, some of your feelings today. It's like a root of bitterness. It's there under the surface that at times, you know, pops up. This whole idea of root, it's kind of fascinating. I enjoy plants, I guess. But here's your surface of your soil. And so you have a plant that is a lot of plants, flowers and whatnot. Yeah, you see the plant above the ground, and you take like a strawberry plant. I'm not drawing strawberry plants here, but you have the idea. A strawberry plant has a nice crown here, and then has a lot of, at least the healthy plant has a lot of roots. And that's strawberry plant. When I think of the root of bitterness, I don't know what you think of, but I think of like something like quackgrass. You all know what quackgrass is, right? You know what their, how their roots are. So quackgrass, you see the grasses above the soil, you know, and they have a little bit of a head on them, not much. But, and so you have a quackgrass, but that has a different type of root system. And the root system is called a rhizome, and it is underneath here. And what it does is these roots, it can be a mass of roots, and they grow, and they travel under the soil. And they can go for like a long ways. And there's a big mat underneath here, And then every once in a while they pop up like this. And then they start another plant. And then that one starts putting out shoots, and it just keeps traveling and spreading. And you can have this massive root system under the soil, and you don't even see it as you start to dig in there. But it's there, and it's hard to kill. You've battled quackgrass in the garden. You know, you run the tiller over it, and unless the soil is in the right stage, it's, you know, not too wet, or if you can get those broken roots to the surface where the sun can hit them, maybe they'll die. But essentially, you hoe that, you chop them all up. If they're buried under the soil, what do? They just start another plant. It just keeps on going. In fact, a rototiller can spread quackgrass really well, because every little sprig that is broke off, usually, unless it's laying up on the top on the sun, will start growing underneath again and do the same thing again. You know how hard it is to kill quackgrass. A lot of tilling, if you want to do it the natural way, a lot of tilling and making sure those roots come to the surface in a hot sun. And then you get a fair bit of it if you just keep doing it. I did a summer fallow there before we put our strawberries in. I think two summers in a row I kept that like brown, like tilled it every so often just to keep the weeds. And he got rid of a lot of it. Not 100%, but a lot of it. Of course, nowadays you can also use a herbicide that you spray it on the leaves and the salt compound goes down through. You can also use some kinds of vinegar works too, I think, somewhat. It absorbs and goes down into the roots and kills them from the bottom, the top side down. So that's another way to kill quackgrass. That's what I think of when I think of bitterness. Just down underneath, you hardly see it. Every once in a while, it just pokes up, just slowly growing. We'll probably come back to that analogy a few times in our thoughts this morning. So there's that issue. So the roots, like in this type, doesn't just support the plant, like say like a strawberry plant, but the roots in this type of a plant, you know, are spreading and growing. I think they actually come up with a type of alfalfa now hybrid that actually spreads this way as well. So I thought that's interesting. That's a viable plant, and you can use that and spread a good plant. But anyway, that's just the word picture that we can see there. They say if you have if you let quackgrass take over in a field, you can lose over 90% of your crop. It'll just squeeze it out. It'll just smother it and kill it. All right. So much for the natural part of this. We have one more thing yet. Have you ever seen a quackgrass root go right through a potato? I've seen that happen. That root will just push right through a potato, come out the other side, and keep on going. Very difficult. All right, so what is the lesson for us in all of this morning? One thing is this whole idea of roots of bitterness. A root of bitterness illustrates for us the terrible work of bitterness in the human heart. Many times, like I said, hidden away and unnoticed in some dark corner of the heart, but all the while continuing to grow and to spread. As the roots of bitterness spread within, you cannot tell when or where it will surface, come through the soil and show itself as it is spreading. And it's disguised, and it can go undetected for years and yet cause a lot of internal damage to the heart. Now, I'd like, secondly, just to think about some roots of bitterness that can grow within the heart. I'm sure you would be able to think of some of these. These are parts of our human nature. We're all made the same, so we all have these various capacities. Not all have the same experiences of life. Some are different than others. But like I said before, we all have the capacity to harbor bitterness within. And we are to looking diligently. We are to take a deep look inside this morning and to make sure that there's no root of bitterness within. Now, we notice here in verse 15 that it says, lest any root of bitterness, any root. God wants it all taken out and sanctified. And so there are so many different things that can lead to bitterness. Often bitterness in the heart comes from unresolved hurts and injustices that have happened to a person. And this can be things, you know, circumstances, whether it's things that we bring on ourselves, our own failures and faults, or the way people relate to us, and whether it was fair or unfair or whatever it is. They can be like those unresolved hurts and injustices that we feel and know that have happened in our life. It can also come from a struggle with physical pain and suffering. And sometimes, you know, there are those that struggle for years with chronic pain and suffering, and that can be, if that's left unresolved in the mind, it can lead to bitterness at times. Bitterness can start with situations and circumstances beyond our control. There's things that by the sovereign design of God happened in our lives, and we're not responsible for it, but here it is. And how I relate to that and how I deal with that will determine whether it becomes a root of bitterness in my heart or whether it's something that will bring about a soft heart. And so things happen. Things can happen in childhood. And these can be, like you could say, emotional injuries that are carried on for years. Sometimes it's, you know, some levels of abuse in various ways. That can happen. And again, if that is not handled properly or dealt with in growing up and becoming an adult, it can fester underneath the surface for years, and suddenly it comes out and is in a very destructive way. It can come sometimes from resentment toward parents. Sometimes, you know, children may struggle with situations where a father or a mother or both parents are not what God would want them to be, and to struggle with some of those weaknesses and challenges, and to relate to that. There's a right way to relate to that, and then there's a wrong way to relate to that. And if we relate to those things in a wrong way, it can begin that root of bitterness within our hearts. And while we, you know, we maybe think we struggle to forgive and work through that, and that's, of course, important. We'll talk about that. But you know, dealing with that is finally becomes a choice of our wills as we get older in life. And so, you know, it can happen where a person feels that, say, dad was too strict or not fair or whatever it is, whatever list you want to give it. And then there can be that root of bitterness that slowly grows in the heart. And as that person becomes older, you know, they sure don't want to repeat what their father did or didn't do. And it can be a reactionary thing. And all of it is because it is those reactions are often driven by that bitterness within that was never taken care of, never settled. I've heard it, you've seen it, you've heard it too, you know. It can go back to school days and how, you know, being mistreated or bullied or whatever, you know, and people have not dealt with that properly and just allow that to simmer in their heart and end up growing a tremendous crop of roots of bitterness. All of us would have a few memories, I'm sure, that we could revive from our school days, you know, where we felt that things just didn't go our way. I remember I went to my dad and I told him something about the way I thought I was mistreated. And he just kind of looked at me. He said, "Well, now you know how you ought to treat other people. That's a good lesson for you." He said, "Just go love them. Go be nice to them." You know, those were you know, at the time I didn't feel like I got very much sympathy, and I didn't get very much sympathy, but looking back, my father was very wise. He wasn't going to, and we'll maybe talk about this whole thing of victimhood a little bit, but it's so important that you don't just start, you know, those roots of bitterness within. And so we all face these things in various ways. Bitterness can take root through unresolved issues and hurts in a marriage. And I think that this is, you know, the divorce rate is higher than ever in the Western world. And I think that this is a major part of it in a lot of ways, where unresolved issues are just become baggage in a marriage relationship. And they start to pile up over the years. Things are not resolved. And the little hurts, the little things that, you know, where we, a husband and wife, can let each other down and maybe not understand or not communicate right, or, you know, all those things can start to pile up, and it can begin the roots of bitterness within. And if that is not dealt with in a marriage relationship, we know the outcome is disastrous. And there gets so much baggage, and how to work through that. But it's that root of bitterness in there that has taken hold. Colossians 3 and verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." So it's a very clear picture there, very clear understanding of what it takes. Well, it can also happen in work relationships. Bitterness can affect employer and employee relationships. And again, the little things that happen, and I'm sure you probably have met people like I have, that you get to visit with them, and after a while, you know, you talk about whether it's work or marriage or whatever it is, and you get this the big stream of all the injustices and all the things that have gone wrong, and how, you know, this person treated them and that person treated them, and he's just like, you know, you don't know what to do with all that information. But what is obvious is that bitterness has produced a tremendous crop of roots and shoots, you know, that have surfaced and affect relationships and just all kinds of things. And so it can affect us in many different ways. Bitterness can take root in people's hearts and in church life. And I think, you know, most of us probably have faced this at times in relation to church life, you know, where God intends it to be a loving relationship, but then, you know, in our humanity, we let each other down, and we don't mean to, probably, but we say some things that are not kind, or we hurt someone's feelings, or they hurt our feelings just by what was said or not said. And, you know, we have to be able to deal with those things, and not allow, you know, grudges to build up, or, you know, just keep a list of hurts or whatever it is. You know, not feeling that, you know, like things are not I'm not treated right in all those areas. So it's possible. And I think, you know, church divisions can happen, and not only that, you know, bitter people are often on the run and don't realize it, on the run. We have a tendency to run away from the hurts that we have not dealt with. If you deal with them, it's fine. But we do have a tendency to run away from things that hurt us. And of course, if we allow, you know, and that's very natural, we could say normal, but we have to be careful with that, because in that can be that growing bitterness within our hearts about the injustices or the failures of the past, and we will never outrun those. You're going to have to deal with those. And so otherwise, bitterness is going to take a hold in our hearts. I face this. And you have to forgive. You have to deal with it. And we can be so easily reactionary. You know, and we because of this and what has happened to me, and, you know, and the hurts or whatever it is, the unresolved issues, you know, I'm I'm out of here, or I'm, you know, I can't handle this. We're reactionary. And I'm not saying there's not times to move or not times to change churches. There is, all that can be right in its own way. But we have to be sure that it's not driven by bitterness, a root of bitterness. And it can happen, like I said, you know, thinking that dad is too strict as a young person. Yet we become a father, we realize that, now I understand why dad said what he did and did what he did. You know, but if that becomes a bitterness, maybe that's just immaturity. And that's fine. That's why we need to learn those things. But if it's bitterness, then we hold a grudge. And then it ruins relationships. So it's just important that we think about this. You know, that what is the reason that we do what we do? And what is the reason for our reactions? Is it driven by a root of bitterness within? Something that we've never really dealt with. And we just kind of try to, you know, we try to cover it up and we try to keep the ground tilled around this, you know, this plant, but we never actually deal with it. And then every once in a while, up it comes and it shows itself in situations. Well, it'd be some other symptoms that we could think about. A bitter person can easily become a hypercritical person. I think it can be. I'm not saying it always is, but it often is. One of the symptoms of a bitter heart is hypercritical. Hypercritical, what I mean by that is always thinking, you know, other people aren't doing it right. And I think that, you know, we believe as a congregation, as a church, we believe in what we call the brotherly address. In other words, if we have a struggle, we have a problem, we have a concern, we should go to the brother, we should go to the sister. We should have that conversation. And that's where we like to keep our council meetings in a positive way. Yes, we can give our counsel before communion. We can say about our peace with God. There's times we say about a concern we may have. But it's not pointing fingers. And I've seen too much of that in years gone by. Some of the people that had the longest list of concerns about other people in the church would say it before the brethren or sisters in a council meeting, but I've never gone to them personally about any of it. And then the other thing can happen is, why would it always be the same brother that always had the long list about everybody else? And sad to say, some of those people are way out in the world and have made shipwreck of their faith. I think, just looking back, my humble way of thinking, but it is that there was a root of bitterness there. They were hypercritical and never dealt with what was going on inside their hearts and eventually lost out because that root of bitterness was never dealt with. It's something to think about. Like I say, I'm not saying we don't go and share our concerns. I'm not saying that. But we have to be careful. What is driving that? These roots of bitterness sometimes can have a very spiritual flavor and a spiritual concern. And I don't feel it's here among us, but I'm just saying it can happen, and I've seen it happen in a congregation. It's divisive. And it's like this scripture says, springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It spreads in families, in family relationships. It spreads in church life. In brotherhood relationships. And so let's be sure that we look at our motives. It's like Jesus said about the mote and the beam. Jesus never said that it's wrong to help our brother with his mote. But the point of that whole thing was just be sure that you're not doing it because you have a beam in your own eye. See, we are a brother's keeper. We owe it to each other in exhortation and help. But we have to be careful that what is the reason? That we don't become hypercritical. The person that is feeling, you know, always feels that everybody else just doesn't quite do it right. And when we start developing that in our hearts, we got to take a hard look at ourselves and say, Why am I thinking like that way? Why am I acting like this? What is going on? Many times it's a problem with the root of bitterness. Well, you can wreak havoc in family, like I said, family relationships, church relationships. And also a bitter person will often get some smug satisfaction in seeing the other person suffer or fail in some way. Because anger is a part of bitterness usually, therefore a person is angry at either circumstances or angry at a person or a happening. And therefore, you know, a person that is in the throes of bitterness will get some sort of satisfaction out of seeing that person suffer or fail or something. It's one of the ways in which we can stop and analyze our motives. And I've had this shocking experience already. Maybe you have too. Of someone maybe that I've struggled with over the years. And then when something happens, it's like, what is my feeling like toward that person now? When they have difficulty, do I get any smug satisfaction that now they have to suffer a little? Or, you know, and we just got to analyze that because it can tell us a lot about our own hearts. Also, I think it's a very universal problem of feeling justified in the feeling of bitterness. That's why we don't destroy the crop right away with the power of God and get rid of it, destroy it through the power of the Holy Spirit, is because we feel justified. And, you know, I feel justified because this is what they said, this is what they did. True, maybe they did. So, what are you going to do about it? See, that's the question. It's not whether or not you're going to be able to straighten out the other person or all of that. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. What are you going to do about the sovereignty of God and the circumstances he brings into your life? There's people that get mad at God. And blame God. And feel justified in being mad at God for what he allowed. How are you going to win that one? You can't. You see, what I'm saying is it comes back to what our attitude is going to be. How are we going to address this? How are we going to keep the root of bitterness out of our hearts? God wants our hearts to be mellow, like we read here about chastening. You know, our fathers chastened us the way they thought it was best. You know, that's what it means there. According to their own pleasure, what they thought was the best idea. Was it always good, always right? Probably not. I got a few that I don't think I really needed. But then I'm sure I missed quite a few that I should have had. You see, but when you talk about the chastening of God, he's accurate. He's not going to miscalculate anything there. It's not pleasant. It's grievous. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them who are exercised thereby. How are you going to argue with God? See? And so what I'm saying is, comes back to our hearts. And what we're going to do in relation to things that happen, whether in our control, beyond our control, let's just think here in the last part now, dealing with roots of bitterness. Verse 15, looking diligently so that we don't risk missing God's grace. We all face unpleasant circumstances. We all face the hurts of life. And the bumps and the bruises that come with being alive in this world and living in the midst of a lot of other humanity and quite human sometimes as well. So we all face these things. And it's what we choose to do with it that will determine if it grows into roots of bitterness or into the soft heart that that is yielded to God's will and purposes. That is what is so important. We must forgive any situation, anyone. And I know this sounds simple and it sounds easy. It sounds like an elementary answer. But really, it does come down to this, is genuine forgiveness. And it may not be even the forgiveness of a person. It may be a forgiveness, the forgiving a situation. We must have a forgiving spirit about life. And that helps us to cushion, you know, the bumps that come and the disappointments and the irritations or whatever we face. Another thing to remember is, in relation to the roots of bitterness, don't replay the situation over and over in your mind. Don't replay the situation over and over in your mind. We need discipline of mind. It happened, okay, whatever it is, but we're not going to keep this thing alive. And like I say, you've met people too, probably like I have, that doesn't take hardly any amount of words or in the conversation, and all of a sudden, you know, all these hurts come out, and the whole list of what this person did and that person said, and obviously they replay that over and over in their minds to keep all that alive. It's best to forget it. Deal with it. Forgive. Let it go. Don't hold on to it. When we replay it in our mind over and over again, we're getting some carnal satisfaction in that. And we're feeling justified, like I said before, we're feeling justified to feel this way. Because this is what happened. Nobody disputes what happened. But we feel justified in holding on to it. And the more you replay it in your mind, it's just like watering and fertilizing that quack grass. And it just grows and grows. And you will reap a tremendous harvest of bitterness. And so we need mind discipline. Don't replay it over and over in your mind. And right with that, don't keep repeating the situation to others. I'm not saying there's never time to talk about it. There's the right time to talk about some things. But in general, we need to be careful. That thing of replaying it also is part of, can be as just as wrong as then repeating the situation and retelling the story. Be careful with that. Just a word again to parents here. I mentioned this a little bit before, but don't allow any kind of a victim mentality to develop in a child. Don't teach them how to harbor bitterness. And I'm not talking about any situation here, but I know of situations, other places, where a child was allowed to develop a victim mentality that carried right on into adolescence and teenage years and into early adult years, and basically ruined that life. And I'll tell you why in a moment. But what I'm saying is, don't allow a victim mentality. Be careful. And so when, it's really practical, when a child comes and says, well, you know, they said this about me, and my friends did that to me, and then on and on. That's where you need to be careful you don't start the roots of bitterness. That's life. You have to teach them that. You know that, okay, but now I'm going to be telling you what you need to do. And, you know, otherwise a child thinks that somehow they're entitled to everybody treating them nice. And that's not the world I grew up in or live in. I don't know. And I'm sure you didn't grow up in that world either, where everybody just always did what you thought they should do and treat you the same way you thought you should be treated. But what I'm saying is, how you teach that child to relate to the hurts and the bumps of life is going to make a tremendous difference of how they deal successfully with bitterness that can come. Now, the next one is, remember this, that the roots of bitterness allowed to grow in a person's heart, it is very powerful. It has the power to change the ability to think rationally and in right perspective. There are people that have severe mental health issues and emotional health issues because they allow bitterness to grow in their heart, and it gets to the point where they cannot think straight anymore. You cannot actually think rationally. I'm not saying that they could not be delivered from that if they're willing, by the power of God. But to keep repeating, and you know, and you develop your brain in a way, in the tracks of information and the rational thinking, that you can change the structure of your brain to think in certain ways if you do it long enough. And you have people that, I've seen this happen, and it's very, very difficult to help them to think differently because of what they taught their brain, how they taught their brain to think. That's why, you know, Paul talks about, you know, thinking, you know, and we're to think on right things and pure things and all that. That's the recipe for a good mind. I think also every time we replay what happens, like I talked about, you know, we just keep feeding that whole bitterness within. And remember, bitterness and anger are twins. They are connected. Also, I think that we need to be open to the insight of others. Many times it is hard for the bitter person to recognize what the real issue is. Now, that depends on how well we have learned introspection, to be able to step back from yourself and look at yourself. All of us struggle with that. But it's something that we all need to work on and develop. But there are many times that sometimes we just simply need the insight of someone else to say, I think you're bitter. You know, and that jolt sometimes helps us to stop and take a look at ourselves and say, well, why am I feeling this way? Why am I doing this? Why is, you know, this a struggle that I have? And so let's open ourselves to the insight of others. We also need to bring all the roots of bitterness out into the light and have them exposed for what they are. With that, we must acknowledge the seriousness of this sin. Bitterness, I believe, is one of the deadly sins. One of the deadly sins. Because it says here, lest any man fail of the grace of God. We do not want to fail of the grace of God. So I would say that bitterness is one of the deadly sins. And as you maybe have heard this before, but in bitterness and nursing the feelings of bitterness within the heart, someone said it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies from it. It is how it works. That's how it works. Back to one of the verses that we started with, Ephesians 4, 31 to 30 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's take a look at ourselves again this morning. Make sure there's no roots of bitterness there anywhere under the surface that pop up every once in a while and cause an issue. By the power and the grace of God, we can crucify this. We can destroy this in our lives. We can be victorious. Let's kneel to pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the warnings of your word. We thank you that we can come to you in the deceptiveness and the fallenness of our own hearts, and that you will show us what we are really made of, what is really within us. We thank you that your word is quick and powerful and can pierce right through us, our hearts, and show us what is within us. And so, Father, we just pray you would bless us. You know each of our hearts here this morning, even though there can be many things that are within that we don't really know of each other, but we just pray that we might be an encouragement to each other, and where there is intense struggles because of things in the past or the roots of bitterness that are lurking there, we just pray, Father, that you would help us in our struggles. We might be able to deal with these things by your power and forgiveness and be free from the bondage of bitterness. And so, Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of our needs here this morning. May your blessing and guidance be with us as we continue faithful. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.